greet you in Jesus' name this morning, the great shepherd of the sheep. This thought was going through my mind this past week, so you may open your Bibles to Psalm 23. So we think of the Jesus as a shepherd, we as sheep. It seems like that term kind of received maybe a mocking connotation during the COVID years. People talked about, they're just sheep. You know, they're just doing whatever the master says. And they were referring to people who followed the government blindly. Just did whatever, put the masks on, they stayed at home, they did this, they did that, just simply because the government said so. And so they kind of used it in a mocking way, kind of giving the idea that being a sheep is a bad thing. But if you study your scriptures, you find out that being a sheep is a good thing. And it's also a very honest depiction of human nature. And we want to look at some of that this morning. Psalm 23 is a psalm that is a comfort to many people, and it's also a very familiar psalm. I think there's probably a lot of people who know it, a lot of people, like I say, who take comfort from it in times of trouble, times during the down times in their life. Maybe it becomes precious to them, but it is not a psalm that is that anyone can. Well, it is a psalm that anyone can take comfort from, but it's a psalm that we could say not everyone could take comfort from, because it is conditioned on one thing, and that is, the Lord is my shepherd. As we think of that, and we'll look at that a little more. And I had to think about that in connection with this psalm. That there is a lot in there, but it is all conditioned on that first part. The Lord is my shepherd. So let's read the psalm. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. There's a lot packed into these verses, and probably a lot of different ways we could take them, and we're not going to do that this morning, because there is actually a book written on it, and it is a book that I've studied through. It's been a while since I had read through it, but Philip Keller was a sheep herder and a preacher, I believe, way back years ago, and he has a book called The Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23, and it brings a lot of sheep, interesting nuggets about sheep into this psalm. And so if you get a chance, you can read it and find out all the different ways you can take this psalm. But we're going to kind of cover it with a broad stroke this morning, and hopefully learn some things from The Lord is My Shepherd. I've entitled it, Who is My Shepherd? Because obviously, not everyone claims the Lord as their shepherd. Not everyone wants the Lord as their shepherd. As a matter of fact, there's probably some, like in the Sunday school lesson, who would look at that kind of as a bad thing, who oppose that calling in life as being a sheep in a flock of God. But When we think of the Lord is my shepherd, the Lord there, if you look in your Bible, the Lord is in all capital letters, which means it is referring to the Lord, Jehovah, the self-existent, the eternal one, is my shepherd. And that is what makes these promises and comforts that follow so valuable to the child of God, is that they come from the Lord. They are, because the Lord is my shepherd, he is my master, he is the one who is guiding me through life. He is the one who looks out for me. He is the one who provides for me. He is the one who is eternal. He has always been. And so it's nothing that I need to fear. There's nothing I need to worry about. His promises are sure. His comforts are real. His guidance is secure for my life. And so the Lord is my shepherd. And they are based on that fact that the self-existent one, the eternal one, is my shepherd. Without this qualifier, the rest of the psalm would not be true in our lives. If the Lord is not my shepherd, we could start the psalm, when the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In other words, there is something about this psalm that could not be a real thing in my life, and it all hinges on that. The Lord is my shepherd. Like I said, there are many people who cannot claim the promises and comforts of this psalm. So how can the Lord be our shepherd? Turn over to John 10, and this is also a very familiar very familiar passage. And this is where Jesus is giving his teaching on the Good Shepherd. We're going to just kind of go through these verses, not necessarily in order, but pull out a few here and there, because there are different aspects that Jesus brings out here in this passage of the Good Shepherd. So how can the Lord be our shepherd? How can we claim this promise, this truth that the Lord is our shepherd? John 10, verses 11 to 16, Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own sheep are not, seeth a wolf coming, and leaveth the flock, and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd." So we find in this that there's actually two shepherds, we could say. He calls the one an hireling, and that is someone who is out there supposed to be taking care of the sheep, but he doesn't own the sheep. They're not his sheep. They are simply there under his care. Now, whether they are sheep that are, whether they all belong to the same shepherd or not. In years past, sometimes they would take cattle and sheep, and they would all, anyone with just small flocks, they could put them all together and take them up, and somebody would take care of them. And that's possibly what Jesus is referring to here about the hireling, somebody who was there to, he was supposed to take care of the sheep. And he was, it says, but he doesn't care for them like the shepherd does. He's a hireling. He careth not for the sheep. They're not his sheep. They're not his livelihood necessarily. He is not depending on them for a profit. He's possibly getting a little wage for taking care of them, but if danger comes, he's not as apt as the owner to put forth the effort to take care of them. And we can give our lives to somebody like that. We can follow somebody like that, and there may be, we can feel maybe some security in that, but when the time gets tough, where are you? You do not have the good shepherd looking out for you. You do not have that care and provisions that God has for his own. The way the way you would if you are under the care of the Good Shepherd. He says, I give my life for the sheep. Jesus has all interest in your well-being. He gave his life for you. He desires for you to have life. He wants you as one of his. And he says, I give my life for the sheep. I am the Good Shepherd. I know my sheep and am known of mine. It is a mutual relationship there. He knows each one of his sheep. And we read in the parable of the lost sheep where he discovered one was missing and the great lengths he went to take care and to find that sheep. They are his sheep. He knows his sheep. And he says, and they are known and am known of mine. It's not just that he knows each one of us, but we can know him and we can take comfort in his voice. In the book of the Shepherd looks at Psalm 23, he talks about that, how he spent a lot of time out there because when he got his farm, I forget exactly where his farm was, but it kind of bordered the coastline in Canada, and not sure exactly where in Canada, but there were wolves and robbers and different threats out there, and they were especially bad one year, and he would just spend a lot of time out there, especially through the night. Him and the dog would be out there just to scare off anything that came, any intruder, whether it was a wolf or a bear or a coyote, just whatever it was. He didn't want them getting his sheep. And the sheep came to recognize him when he would walk out and he would talk to them. They would listen to him. And there was that relationship there as much as you can with a sheep. But they trusted him. They knew that he was there to protect them. And that is how we can be with our Good Shepherd. But a hireling, we can't trust that way. If we're putting our trust in anything other than the Good Shepherd, we will be left short. And so it is, there are two kinds of caretakers. There's the Good Shepherd, and then there's the hireling. There's also shepherds who own the sheep who do not have an interest in their sheep. They feel like that, and we'll get into that a little more later. They feel like that the sheep can pretty much fend for themselves, as long as they provide a few things necessary, the rest will fall into place. Well, that is not the Good Shepherd. That is not our Good Shepherd. He does not leave us here to fend for ourselves. He brings that out. He says, the Good Shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He is out there. He is sacrificing things for us. And we know the great sacrifice Jesus had for us there on Calvary. He actually did give his life for the sheep. Dropping down to verses 26 to 29 in John 10. He says, but ye believe not, here he's talking to the Pharisees, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. But my Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. So, again, back to the point that not all are the sheep, and so not all can take this psalm personally because they don't want to recognize the voice of the Good Shepherd. He says that you don't believe because you're not my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. In other words, a sheep of the Good Shepherd is going to do all he can to be close to the shepherd. He's going to feel that security. He's going to understand that that's where his security, that's where his identity is, and that is in following the Good Shepherd. He's not going to be out wandering around, following other paths and trying to fit other things in, explore the great world and do this and that. No, he's going to stay close to the shepherd. And he says that they hear my voice and they follow me. And so we cannot claim that the Lord is my shepherd if we're not listening for the voice of the shepherd, if we're not paying attention, if we're not allowing him to guide us. Going back up to verses 7 to 9, then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. And so there we find, we've got around to saying what it takes to be one of his sheep, to have him as our shepherd, and that is to come in. He says he's the shepherd, but he's the door. If you enter in, you will be saved, and you can go in and out and find pasture. You can be one of his sheep by entering in through the door, which is Jesus Christ, and also he is the good shepherd and will lead us in and out. So that is a very serious matter. There's so many people who love this psalm, but are we truly following? Are we truly one of his sheep? Is he truly our shepherd? Are we trying to find it, our way in some other way and still claim the promises, the comforts of having Christ as our shepherd without acknowledging him as our shepherd, as without submitting to his guidance, without being one of his sheep, following his voice and in everyday life. Now let's go in, and we're going to just kind of follow the psalm through and see what these truths and comforts and promises are. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We have a shepherd who delights in meeting our needs. We have a shepherd who he says, gave his life for the sheep. You know, as in thinking of the needs that the shepherd provides for, there's many, many things. And most shepherds, as they get into maybe raising sheep, maybe they don't understand the great sacrifice it is. I've never personally had sheep. We've had goats, and it is enough of a struggle keeping them healthy and alive. But they say sheep are even much worse. They are very given to diseases and parasites, and you constantly have to be alert to the dangers that they have, not only of dogs and such like, but of just parasites and diseases. And it's, you know, you can a good shepherd can walk out among them, and he'll say, "Well, they're not acting quite right. You know, what is it?" And so, in order for a sheep to say, "I shall not want," the shepherd has a lot invested. He has a lot of sacrifice. He has a lot of time and possibly a lot of finances involved in making that reality in his sheep's life. I shall not want. But we have a shepherd who delights in supplying our needs. This shouldn't be confused with supplying our wants. You know, the sheep could want lots of things that the shepherd says, no, that's not a good thing. Maybe they want out into the pasture of where there's noxious weeds, and they want to break out into there. He says, no, that is not something that they need. As a matter of fact, it would be harmful for them. So I think sometimes when we think that the shepherd is not supplying our needs, we want, it's because of our wants and not because of our needs. I shall not want. We have a shepherd who never slumbers or sleeps. He is a constant companion. He says, I lay down my life for the sheep. He is willing to do what it takes to make life good for his sheep, life to where that they do not want. I shall not want means I shall not lack the care of my master. And he says that no good thing will he withhold from them who follow him. And so there's nothing that we need in life pertaining to life and godliness, I believe it's Peter says, that he is going to withhold from us. And with that in mind, why do we worry? Why do we get these wants and needs mixed up so often? You know, too often we think, well, if we've got Jesus, but if we have Jesus and a good bank account, or if we have Jesus and a nice family, if we have Jesus and you can put in there what you feel is needful in your life to find fulfillment, you know, we have the Good Shepherd, but we also would like that pasture out there that looks so good from here, when Jesus, our Good Shepherd, says, no, that pasture is full of weeds and things that are harmful for you. You know, I'm not going to lead you out there. And we'll look at that a little more. But can we truly say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want? He has given me everything that I need in life. He is my Good Shepherd. He has supplied all that pertains, all that I need to live a godly life, all that I need to find fulfillment in life, all that I need for godly living. We need to trust, put our complete trust in our Good Shepherd, and not think that He is not supplying our needs, that we have this thing that we need yet, because when we have complete trust, then we will have the adequate care and provisions that He has promised to those who follow Him. Luke 12:30-32. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. And if you recognize that, that's part of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew. But Luke puts it just a little different way, but it's the same, I believe, the same sermon. He says there's food, there's clothing, there's all kinds of things that we feel like we need in life. But he says, your Father knows you have need of those things. And he says, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God. Then he finishes up in Luke. He says, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He has so much in store for those who follow him. Fear not, little flock. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. What do we need more than that? If he is giving us the kingdom, if he is, it's his good pleasure to provide for his children. Now we understand in America, we get this, I think the reason we get this concept so mixed up is because of the material affluence of our time and the prosperity gospel, which is pretty much that, you know, God is going to, if we seek the kingdom of God, all these things like the money, the bank account, the nice farm, the nice house, that's going to be added because we're seeking the kingdom of God. That is not necessarily true for people in other parts of the country, parts of the world, we should say. It doesn't take long to understand that there are many who are suffering for Christ. There are many today who fear life, who do not have the nice house, do not have the big bank account, do not have the nice car, do not meet in a beautiful church, but yet they say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And they take comfort that God is providing for them. So let's not be tricked into thinking that the I shall not want means that we're going to have a life of ease, but that God is willing to provide for us the things that truly matter in life. Number two, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Philip Keller, in the book I mentioned, The Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23, says, the strange thing about sheep is that because of their very makeup, it is almost impossible for them to be made to lie down unless four requirements are met. Owing to their timidity, they refuse to lie down unless they are free from all fear. Because of the social behavior within a flock, sheep will not lie down unless they are free from friction with others of their kind. If tormented by flies or parasites, sheep will not lie down. Only when free from these pests can they relax. Lastly, a sheep will not lie down as long as they feel in need of finding food. They must be free of hunger. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. That, you know, as we think about those four things that he says, there's four requirements that need to be met for a sheep to really lie down and relax in green pastures. How often do we find these restlessness in our lives because of fear, because of friction with others, because of tormenting by flies, parasites, those things that distract us, those things that are irritating us, and because of our need for hunger, our need of food. We hunger. All these conditions apply to us as humans. We cannot find rest in our hearts until these things are taken care of. So just think about the being free from fear. There's many things in life that we fear, and I believe the more we are aware of what's going on around us, the more this fear can be prevalent in our lives, because as we take our eyes off of the Good Shepherd, if we take our eyes off of the one who has things in control, what does that leave? It leaves us feeling vulnerable. It leaves us feeling fearful. You know, what would happen if this happens the way the news purports it, or what would happen if, and people are given to fear. And matter of fact, that they try to drive that fear into people so that they vote the way they want them to vote, or so that they choose this, you know, this way of life. It is driven by fear, but a child of God who is fully focused on the Good Shepherd understands that those things are external. Jesus said, you know, don't fear those who can hurt you. Fear him who has complete control of your life, who can cast you into hell if you're living a life of sin. That's the one you need to fear. And so we put our trust in the Good Shepherd. They can take care of those fears. We hear his voice. We feel his comfort. We feel his guidance in our lives. And we submit to him. And I think sometimes it just does good just to get away from the news for a while and to refocus. There's nothing wrong with keeping track of what's going on in the world, but don't make that your diet in life. Your diet should be feasting on the Word of God and the promise and promises that he has, the guidance that he gives in his Word. And that goes for the last one as well. The need to find food. Fulfillment. Jesus said, blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. The friction with others of their kind. It doesn't take long in watching a herd of sheep, or of goats for that matter, to find lots of butting of heads going on and trying to get the, in a chicken house we say the pecking order. In a herd of sheep, it's probably the herding order. but, you know, there's that, there can be three or four sheep feeding and one will come in and just dominate the whole thing and chase everyone else away, or can be lying there relaxed, and somebody comes up and just boom, you know, and they're up and away, and that can be in our circles as well, that friction that is there. But when we all find our place, we all find our place in our church, find our place in our setting in God's kingdom, there can be peace, and we can all lie down and find rest and comfort. The flies and the parasites are things that we heard about them just a little bit in devotions, the cares of the life that distract us and keep the seed from growing in our the seed from bearing fruit in our lives, those kind of things. God wants to take care of those things for us as well. Matthew 11, 28 to 30 says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest in your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So as we think of these four things that keep us from lying down in green pastures, let's look to the shepherd. Let's turn those over to him. Let's allow him to anoint our heads with oil, which we'll look at just a little later, and find our place, find the value of the brotherhood, and find rest in his flock. He leadeth me beside the still waters. This, I think, speaks a lot of finding satisfaction in life. Jeremiah 2:13 says, "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and have hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water." He leadeth me beside the still waters. He leadeth me to the place of satisfaction, the place where I can quench my thirst, the place where I can find refreshment and fulfillment in life. But too often we're bypassing that. Our human nature wants to bypass that and say, we need this to find fulfillment. We need this gadget, or we need that in our lives. And we look at many other things, and Jeremiah says that that's like hewing yourself out a cistern with holes in, where water may be splashing into it, but it's going all out, and it's a broken cistern. And by the way, cisterns are nothing compared to the streams of living water. As you think of a cistern, it's something that collects water. Maybe the rain falls and it comes off, and it's collected into a thing, and it can become stagnant over time and undrinkable. And instead of hewing that out, to think of that mountain stream that's coming down, and the water looks so refreshing, or the water coming out of the faucet, you know, that it's right by the well, you know, you turn the spigot open and it's coming right up out of it from 60 to 100 feet down there, and it's nice, cold, refreshing water. Why would we bypass that and go over and dip it out of a barrel, rain barrel? That's the picture Jeremiah is giving. And that is the picture that the psalmist is talking about as well. He leadeth me beside the still waters. There's refreshment there. Jesus brought that out to the woman at the well there in John 4. Jesus answered and said unto her, "If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith unto thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." The woman saith unto him, "Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle?" Jesus answered and said unto her, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life." And so when he leads us beside the still waters, it's for our benefit. It's for our satisfaction. It's not going to be something that we drink of and then we're right away looking for something else. And no, he says, this water is satisfying. This water, you're never going to need anything else because it springs up within you. It's as his spirit works within us, as his word becomes a part of our lives, there's that fulfillment that we find, and that gentle, still waters that satisfies, and we find rest from the great thirst and longings of our life. Only the good shepherd knows where to find the living water that truly satisfies. Verse 3, he restoreth my soul. Psalm 42:11, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God." And this word, "why art thou cast down," brings to thought of a sheep that is cast. You ever hear that term? Shepherd talks about going out and there's a cast sheep out there. Well, what happened is the sheep laid down, and through either rolling over or maybe just the way they laid, they suddenly were on their backs. And they can't get back up. They're flailing around, and that is a cast sheep. A sheep that is cast is one that is somehow rolled on its back and can't get back on its feet. It lays there flailing, unable to get up. And if left in this position, it will die. Keller says there's something else that takes place when the sheep is on its back. Of course, its stomach is, it can't get rid of the gas in its stomach, and so that, on a hot day, it says it may die within an hour or two. If it's cold and a little colder and maybe overcast where the sun is not shining on it, it can last a good little while until the shepherd finds it and gets it back. But then when he finds it and gets it back, turned back over to where it can actually get up, it may not be able to stand up. Depends on how long it was there. It may still be dizzy and it needs some restoration. It needs the shepherd's help to help it to stand up and get back on its feet until it finally is free to go again. The psalmist brings that out. He says, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Hope thou in God." Why are you in a place where you can't get up? Why are you depressed? Why are you like a cast sheep flailing about trying to find your way back on your feet? He says, put your trust in God. Call out to the shepherd. And a sheep doesn't know that. It may give a few weak bleats. And, you know, that it's, if the shepherd is alert, if he's out there among them, he can maybe see it right away. But if he is off doing something else, he may not catch it right away. Or if the sheep has wandered out, he may not have found it heard it. It's a few weak bleats. But call thou in God, hope thou in God. He says, I'm going to yet praise him. He's the health of my countenance, or he's the one who gets me back on my feet. He's the one who puts that joy in my heart, smile on my face. He's the health of my countenance. At times we find ourselves in these situations we feel helpless to get out of. We give into temptation, maybe, or become depressed of something that happened in life. Some loved one passes away, or there's a big act. We get sick, and it leaves a big hospital bill, or something that happens in life, whether it's spiritual or physical or financial. Those things have a way of making us feel like we got knocked off our feet. And if we don't get our focus in the right place, we can feel like that sheep that's on its back, and we can feel like we're just flailing and there's no way to get out of it. Well, instead of flailing about, call on the good shepherd. Call out to God. He is there to restore our soul. He's there to help us back on our feet and to get us walking again in the paths of righteousness. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Isaiah 53:6 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the verse we heard there in Sunday school this morning, there is a way that seemeth right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. There is many, many ways that we can travel in life, but he leads us in the paths of righteousness. Sheep left to fend for themselves will be apt to overgraze an area and then be susceptible to starvation and or parasites. It is important that the shepherd leads them to fresh pastures for new grass and nourishment. And that's one thing we see in sheep herders. And I remember years ago when Mel had the sheep there that we work was kind of slow at the door shop. And so he had us out there building, putting up some fences so he could rotate them around to keep ahead of the parasites and keep from overgrazing an area. And all these little paddocks had a gate between them, and he could just move them around. And my father-in-law did that too. He had just a couple of sheep years ago, and he had about three little pastures out there. He would raise about four sheep every summer, I think, and he would rotate them around to keep them from overgrazing. And if you leave a sheep to themselves, they seems like they go to one place and they graze and they don't see the value in themselves of just moving around. Oh, the grass is too short here, let's go over here. No, they keep going to the familiar places, and soon they can overgraze an area, and sheep will actually even just, they would nibble it down to the roots, and when they get hungry, they'll dig around and eat the roots too, if they're, and we find that in our lives as well. We think we know where the best places are, and we keep going to those places, and it can soon be detrimental to our health. And the Good Shepherd takes note of that. He'll go out there maybe every day or every other day and just study the growth. It's getting too short here. I need to move on. I need to move the sheep on into new pastures. He says, "He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness." And it may be a path into new grounds, new territory for us. Things that we maybe aren't familiar with, but they are paths of righteousness. He leads us into deeper truths and deeper situations where we can find the nourishment we need, the challenges we need to grow in Him. Good Shepherd knows that He must keep us on the move to keep us from becoming susceptible to the parasites in life. When we submit to the Shepherd's care and trust His wisdom and guidance for our lives, we can grow healthily for Him. And the interesting thing is, when the sheep are, when they're truly moving, you know, they it seems like when they go from one pasture to the next, the sheep kind of trust the Shepherd. He leads them into the new pastures. A sheep that is truly a healthy sheep, and one that is understands as much as a sheep can, I guess, they'll kick up their heels and follow happily after the Shepherd into that new pasture, into that new growth. And that's the kind of sheep we need to be, understanding that when God moves us on, when God calls us to a new place, calls us into a new pasture, into a new, better growth, that we are becoming stagnant, we are becoming susceptible to parasites in this area of life, and He wants us to move on, we happily go in, understanding that He has our best interests in mind. He has our health in mind. He has our very livelihood in mind. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. He leads us in the paths of righteousness. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. We all go through hard times of life, and most of us, we haven't faced for ourselves maybe the valley of the shadow of death in our own personal life, but we have been with those who have, and we've walked maybe through that valley with family members, mom or dad, or maybe both. And some even with children possibly have went through that valley of shadow of death. But we fear no evil, for thou art with me. As we think of Jesus, the Good Shepherd, Luke 1:76-79, this was Simeon, he says, "And thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light unto them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace." To give light unto them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. Jesus gives us that comfort, that light. Even though we don't understand the full implications of that valley of the shadow of death, we know that He is there with us. He gives us the courage. He gives us the comfort that this is not the end. This is a passing on to be with Him. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." We often read, verses like this in a funeral or in a time of death. As we think of people who go through cancer, where they're just grow weaker and weaker and weaker until finally, you know, the life leaves them, leaves their body. This is a great comfort to them to know that God is with them, And for those who don't know God, what a terror it is to think that, you know, I'll soon be gone, and then what? But the psalmist here says that we can walk through that valley of shadow of death. And Philip Keller likens this to the shepherd leading his sheep to higher ground, but yet he has to go through the valley to get through there, to get up to that higher ground. And often a shepherd will lead his sheep through the valleys, up through. In other words, you don't just go to the highest knob and then follow the ridge all the way up. You follow the valley up into the hills, because that's where the nourishment is. That's where the streams of water come down through the valleys, and that is where the most nourishment. But there's also dangers in there as well, because that's where the wildlife is as well, because of the provisions there, the streams and everything. And so it is kind of a scary thing to go up through the valleys up to find the grass on the higher hills, but it is the best place to go, because that's where the streams of water are, that's where the grass is growing, but the shepherd is on the constant lookout for these things. And so the sheep really don't have to worry. They can follow the shepherd up through these valleys. They fear no evil, for thou art with me. And so as we think of that, you know, oftentimes we talk about the valleys of life, and we want to get on that, Lord, lead me on to higher ground. But oftentimes the best way to get to the higher ground is to go through the valley on our way to the higher ground. And that is the picture that the psalmist gives here, David gives here. I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. We know that the good shepherd is with us even through these valleys, and he is leading us to higher ground. And that is where we will ultimately be at the end of life, is on the higher ground with him, the highest. 1 Corinthians 15, 55-57. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So God is with us. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You can see that we have to hurry on, because it's a lot here to cover. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. When we think of the rod and the staff, the rod is a symbol of authority, power, discipline, and defense against danger. The shepherd used his rod to keep the predators away. He often had a rod with a knob on the end that he could either throw at something, or just it was his weapon of, and they used them. You know, they would practice with them until they could throw that rod at a predator, and that knob on the end would hit it and hopefully chase it away. And if a sheep was acting up, he could bump them with that knob on the end and correct them, help them to settle down. So it was his, the rod was his authority, his power, his discipline, and defense against danger. Liken that rod to the word of God. 2 Timothy 3, 16-17, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. And so God's word is the rod for us. It guides us. It gives us, it is our authority. It is the discipline and the defense for life. And we can use it in whatever a situation we find ourselves in. We can go to the Word of God and find correction. We can find defense against danger. We can find power to overcome, and it is the authority in our lives. The staff, though, is a symbol of comfort, support, and help in daily duties. It was used to draw newborn lambs to their mothers. Oftentimes, the shepherd would take that, and the lamb was born. He would take his staff and pull the lamb up to its mother, so he wouldn't get his own scent on the sheep, on the lamb, and the mother would accept it then. Sheep are very, very finicky in that way. If it doesn't smell just right, it's not theirs. And so he would use that to draw a newborn to its mother, or draw a timid sheep to the shepherd. If he can't quite catch it, he can reach out with his staff and pull that sheep in to inspect it for parasites or whatever, guiding the sheep in the right path. The staff was there to gently nudge them into the way he wants them to go, or just to touch a sheep to assure it of the shepherd's presence. It was his staff of comfort for them. As they flail around, he could touch it with the end of his staff and let it know that the shepherd is here. And that is so much like the Spirit of God in our lives, isn't it? John 16:13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. God's Spirit is there, not only to help us to acceptance, he talks about that, the earnest of our inheritance is the Spirit, we are accepted, we know that, we have that assurance through the Spirit of God, his testimony in our lives, but also in guiding us. He guides us into the ways of truth. He helps us to understand the truth of God's Word, so we know the way to go, and he's there to assure us, give us assurance of salvation. And so the rod and the staff, they comfort me. God's Word and his Spirit comfort us. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. I had to ponder this one just a little bit. Is exactly what he's talking about. He could be talking about the peace that we find as we associate with the shepherd. But I think he's also probably more likely talking about the provisions he gets against even those who are opposed to us. We find the table spread before us, even though there's much opposition. We can find refreshment and nourishment, even though there's wolves outside. He leads us into those ways. He prepares that feast before us. Jesus said, I am the door. If any man shall enter in by me, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. So Jesus is saying, even though there's thieves, there's robbers, there's things out there, you can find security. You can go in and out and find pasture because you're one of my sheep. And what a comfort, what a blessing to know that later he says that nobody can take you out of my Father's hands. There's nothing that can harm us as we put our trust and confidence in him. There's nothing, no force that can remove us from the sheepfold when we are with the God Shepherd. Now, we can choose to walk out. We understand that. But there's nothing there. He prepares the table before us in the presence of our enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. Anointing with oil was putting oil on the head and nose to keep the flies from irritating and blinding the sheep. Now, I don't have much with sheep, but I know with cows, you bring them in, maybe deworm them or whatever, but we often had to spray them down with something to keep the flies. And when the flies are there, they're just restless. They're just irritated. And flies will get on their noses and mouth, eyes and cause pink eye and just all kinds of irritants. Well, the shepherd would had a mixture of olive oil and sulfur and I forget what the other, there's three different things there he talks about, that they would rub it into the down the nose of the sheep and up over his head, anoint his head with oil. And he said you could just see the sheep relax after that. They would come in irritated from all the flies and they would put this stuff on them and turn them loose and they'd just walk out peaceful. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. They were content. They were satisfied now because the irritants of life were gone, for at least for the time. They would probably have to bring them in again to do it later, but for the time, they were contented. They were finding contentment. Their cup runneth over. And that is so like the Spirit of God in our lives as we call out to God with the irritants of life, and he anoints us with his Spirit. Anoints our heads with oil, and we can find peace. We can find rest. We can find relaxation from the turmoils of life as we look to him. Things that would distract and blind us spiritually, through his spirit, we can deal with those things. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely grace and mercy, I would say. I think we could put in there, follow us all the days of our life. All of us are in need of God's grace and mercy. I think each day we realize the value of it following us. Ephesians 2, 4-7, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together by Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Lamentations 3, 22 and 23, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. For they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. And so surely it is a blessing that the goodness and mercy of God is following us. We can claim that all the days of our lives. It's not just an initial experience where his grace and mercy is extended to us, and that is through, but it follows us every day. Every day we look to him for those mercies. Lamentation says they're new every morning. His faithfulness, his goodness to us is great. And that is if we are following the Good Shepherd. Again, it's a provisional thing. And the wicked experience the mercy of God too, because he says it's of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. So they, to a degree, experience the mercy of God, but not as the child of God. Goodness and mercy follow us all the days of our lives. His grace is sufficient for all that we need, and his mercies are new every day. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. For we know that if our earthly house, this tabernacle, were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. 2 Corinthians 5:1. Paul there is talking about the trials and tribulations of life and how that he's growing. We kind of grow weary sometimes of the turmoil in life. And he says, but we know that when this passes away, we're going to have a house of God not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. So we look forward to that. And that is what the psalmist was looking forward to as well. Goodness and mercy was following him. And he had this promise that he was going to dwell in the house of God forever. 2 Peter 3:13-14, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. So if we want to live in this house of God forever, he says, do your diligence. Make sure you're following the Good Shepherd. Be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. So who is your shepherd this morning? Who is my shepherd? Who am I following? Am I following a hireling that doesn't really care about me in the long run? He's just out there for what he can get out of it. Or am I following the Good Shepherd who looks out for me and my needs, and whom I can trust completely, can give my life in complete trust to him, knowing that his provisions are there. And in the end, we can dwell with him forever. He is not going to flee when the hard time comes and leave us stranded. He is going to be there. He is a faithful. Hebrews tells us that he has suffered just like we are, just like we did. And he is faithful. He understands us. And because of that, we can come boldly to him. And so let's put our trust in the Good Shepherd. And if so, then we can, with the psalmist, say, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Let's bow for prayer. Dear God, we thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for your goodness and mercy that follows us every day of our lives. And Lord, as we pondered the truths of this beautiful psalm this morning, help us, Lord, that we would make absolute sure that we are following you, that we would commit our lives to you, that we would give our lives to you in faithful following and serving whatever you've called us to. Lord, we trust you as the good shepherd to provide for our needs. Help us, Lord, to each day commit our ways to you, to follow in the paths of righteousness, realizing that what you have is best, what you have is the only true way to fulfillment and satisfaction. And may we, as your sheep, find comfort and rest each day in serving you. Go with us through this day and through the coming weeks. Keep us in your care. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.